This morning we're going to talk about praying against temptation. Some of you may remember the three-part series that we did on temptation back in August. Some of you may not. It's okay, I asked one of the pastors if he remembered. He didn't remember. That wasn't encouraging. But I would guess that temptation is still an issue for all of us. And that there are some here this morning who feel like it's all you ever think about. You know, whether it's lust or pride or envy or anger or laziness, you just feel like your entire life is about fighting temptation. And you just feel overwhelmed and sometimes just resigned to defeat. And God's Word has hope for you this morning. Then there are some others here this morning who are more like my grandson, Ethan. My son-in-law, Kieran, was sharing with me that last week he'd asked his three-year-old, Ethan, to be kind to his baby sister while he went outside for a few minutes. And Ethan said, "Daddy, God took all my sin away and I don't have any." And of course, Megan and Kieran have been teaching him about how Jesus died to take away our sins. And so Kieran said, "Do you mean God is going to help you not to sin against Madeline?" He said, "No, I don't have any more sin." So then Kieran wisely reminded him of an incident that had happened just 10 minutes previous where he had disciplined Ethan for hitting Madeline. Ethan stood there and after thinking a moment said, "Okay, I have one sin." Now, Ethan is going to find out that his battle against sin and temptation is a little more serious than he thought. And I believe that some of us are going to find out this morning that our battle against sin and temptation is a little more serious than we think. And God's Word has hope for us this morning as well. So we want to turn to God's Word, Matthew 6. And we're going to be reminded by Jesus this morning that we are to pray against temptation. We're going to start in verse 7 of Matthew 6. Jesus says, "And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Let's ask for God's help. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the riches of aid and help that you have given us in your word through your Spirit working in our hearts. We need you right now to make these next few minutes bear eternal fruit. We don't simply want to hear someone speak. We want to hear your voice. I don't simply want to share my thoughts. I want to share your heart and your truth that sets us free. So help us to do that for the glory of your name. Amen. I was assigned this passage about 6 weeks ago, and when I first started studying it, the first thing I realized was how little I pray against temptation. How many of us know that praying against temptation is a good idea? Let me see your hands. Okay, great. Raise them up high. Oh, that's right. Okay, now put them down. How many of us actually pray consistently every day against temptation? Okay, good. Thank you for this answer. Good. Then there's reason for me to preach this morning. Okay, I'm inspired. Because I realize this isn't something that we don't know. This is something that we don't do. And so my prayer is that this morning we would be persuaded and motivated by God's Spirit and His Word to do what we know we should do. Because in this prayer, in this request, Jesus is telling us to pray for victory He Himself has secured for us. And what a promise. We're praying for victory He Himself has secured for us. And what we're going to do is look at briefly what these 10 words mean. Then we're going to draw 3 implications. And finally, make some application. First, what does this prayer say? What is this temptation we're praying against? Lead us not into temptation. Well, in the original language, the words for temptation and trial are the same. So some commentators have thought that maybe this is referring to trials. But no, God is not telling us here to pray that we will be spared difficulties or inconveniences. We're not praying, Lord, please make my sloppy roommate move out, because I can't stand seeing all the stuff that he leaves around this house. Please, please, Father, please, God, make there be no rush hour traffic this morning. Let me pull out of the neighborhood and let there just be open road. For your glory, Lord, I pray this, that your kingdom may come to 124. We're not praying, Lord, lead me not into temptation, so please have my 2-year-old sleep for 5 hours this afternoon so that I may clean the house. Lord, thank you for hearing my prayer. Or maybe, Jesus, you told me to pray that I not enter into temptation, so please make my teacher forget that we were going to have a test today. Lord, I'm not asking that any harm come to my teacher, Lord. No, it's much more noble than that. I'm just asking that they totally forget, that it be erased from their mind, so that I may not enter into temptation. That's not what we're praying. James tells us, in first chapter of James, that trials strengthen our character. He says in verse 2 and 3 of chapter 1 of James, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness." So we actually should be praying, Lord, bring the trials that produce steadfastness in my life, a trust in you. What this temptation is the urge to live contrary to God's will. It's the thought that we can disregard His authority in our lives and live for our own pleasure and glory rather than His. It's related to the beginning of the prayer, where we say, your name be hallowed, your kingdom come, your will be done. And at the end we're asking, Lord, keep me from entering into anything that would tempt me to do other than that, or to think other than that. Similar to saying, Father, lead us not into temptation, but into righteousness, into your ways, into your kingdom. So another question we might consider is, will God lead us into temptation if we don't ask Him to? If we don't ask Him not to? Well, will He just say, okay, you didn't ask me not to lead you into temptation. Okay, I'm leading you into temptation. No. Again, we have to look at Scripture in light of all of Scripture. And James helps us here again in chapter 1, verse 13. He says, God cannot be tempted with evil, and He Himself tempts no one. And we're not simply saying, don't allow me to be tempted, because Jesus was tempted. He was tempted in the desert, just 2 chapters earlier. He was tempted in the garden. In fact, Hebrews tells us that He was tempted in every way as we are, yet was without sin. So what are we asking? Lead us not into temptation. I believe it means 2 things. One, we're asking God to keep our hearts from those things that tempt us to sin. Situations, events, hard attitudes. But also we're asking God to give us strength when temptations come, and they surely will come. Give us strength to resist entering in to them. Like, I can see somebody in a boxing ring waiting to fight me, but it's my choice to get into that boxing ring and start duking it out. That's what entering in to temptation is. God, don't let me enter in to temptation. And then the final phrase is, deliver us from evil. Now, what does that mean, deliver us from evil? Well, some translations read, deliver us from the evil one. And I think that probably gets more at what Jesus is telling us to pray here. This is evil as viewed from God's eyes, not ours. You know, we may think some things are evil that really aren't. Now, this is asking God to keep us from those things that He thinks are evil. And behind all the evil that's in the world is an evil one. Used to be a way of presenting the gospel that started with, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Well, we need to know this morning, the devil hates us and he has a terrible plan for our lives. And he is out to ruin us. So whatever form the evil comes in, we're saying, God, deliver us from evil. Deliver us from evil. Now we want to look at these 10 words of our Savior and see at least three essentials in our battle against temptation. The first is this. This prayer, this request, makes us aware that there is a battle. The Lord's Prayer is a short prayer. There are only 6 requests. And this is one that our Savior thought it was important enough to include, even though the vast majority of us don't pray it. So let's find out what it's saying, why He teaches us to pray this. I woke up this morning in a wonderful home with a wonderful family, had many things that were appealing to me. I went out and fixed breakfast. I had Earl Grey Twining's tea, and it was a wonderful life. It is a wonderful life. Many of you could identify. In Gaithersburg, Maryland, it's a peaceful, lovely existence. I was at a conference earlier part of January where they had a live hookup with a soldier in Iraq. And we were asking this soldier, what can we pray for you for? And he said, the first thing is pray that all my buddies will make it home alive. And I thought, what a different existence it is in Baghdad. Waking up every morning, not knowing whether you're going to be the victim of a suicide bomb or a sniper or stray fire. Well, spiritually speaking, we are living in Baghdad. We have forces arrayed against our souls. Now, is that because we're so important and special? Well, in some way, yes, but not in the way we might think. It's because we're a part of a kingdom that has enemies. Jesus is addressing this prayer to those who are in His Father's kingdom. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come. Well, for God's kingdom to come, when it comes, there is resistance. And guess who gets to deal with the resistance? We do. We are the objects of those who oppose God's kingdom. Anything that is constantly working to turn us away from God, make our lives unfruitful, and convince us that living for the glory of Jesus Christ just isn't worth it. The second chapter of the first letter of John says that this war is waged on 3 fronts. And so we want to be aware, and this prayer should make us aware, that there are 3 ways that we're being attacked, 3 ways we're engaging in battle. The first is just the world. The world is against us. Although God is sovereign over the world, Jesus calls Satan the ruler of this world. He is the God of this world. The world we live in is not neutral. We can't assume that because something is accepted by culture, that it's accepted by God. As our culture continually follows the ways of sin and denial of God's existence and denial of God's laws, it is waging war against God's kingdom. It is waging war against us. The world tempts us through media, through TV, through movies, through commercials, radio, friends, magazines, the internet, advertising, fashion, everywhere. We're embedded in a culture that has an agenda. And that is to make us turn away from and forget the God who rules it all. Another enemy we face is Satan. Satan is a fallen angel who is actively working for our downfall, impairment, and defeat. We see in 1 Peter 5, verse 8, "Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour." That should put us on the alert. Now, some people make the error of seeing the devil behind every corner, every difficult situation, every temptation. The devil did it. Oh, the devil, we got to pray against the devil. The devil's doing this. Devil. He's attacking Satan. Satan. Now, often we're so intent on sinning, we need no help from Satan. We do fine all by ourselves. But Jesus was freshly aware of Satan's designs, don't you think? What had he just come through? In Matthew 4, he had just been tempted after 40 days of fasting in the desert. He had just been tempted personally by the devil. So don't you think he was aware of how much Satan is against us and seeks our downfall? And some of the ways Satan works is through sowing deceit, sowing doubt, causing physical harm, and working through those he rules. He has his ways. So Jesus prayed for us and for our protection against Satan in John 17. He says, "I have given them your word." He's speaking to his Father. "And the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not ask you that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one." We have an adversary. We have an accuser who is looking to destroy us. The third battle we wage is against our own sin, our flesh. I think this is the main source of our temptation, the main battle we fight, because Satan and the world will both use the sin that is in our own hearts. I've shared that I often use the book, The Valley of Vision, in my devotional times. It's a book of Puritan prayers. And I'm affected by the clarity that these men had into their own hearts and into the provision that God has given us in His Son. But I so identified with this one statement in a prayer called Self-Deprecation. "My every sense, member, faculty, affection is a snare to me. I can scarce open my eyes, but I envy those above me or despise those below." We don't have to wait long for the battle to begin with our hearts each day, do we? It usually begins the first waking thought. It's time to get up. I don't really want to get up. Should spend time with the Lord. Yeah, I should. Oh, this new bed feels so nice. What's happening? We are in a war. We are in a battle. We're fighting it already. We decide what we're going to wear. What do our thoughts go to? What will people think about what I'm wearing? We're engaged in a battle. We start thinking about yesterday. What did she mean when she said that? Why didn't they invite me? Moms, maybe your thoughts run to, how will I get everything done today? I have so much to do. Kids, maybe you're thinking, maybe my mom won't notice I didn't do my chores today. Maybe, like, she'll forget again. It's a battle. It's temptation coming from our own hearts. And temptation is an evil and dangerous thing. I think there's a candy called sweet temptations. There are no sweet temptations. Temptation is always designed to lead us away from the God we love and the Savior who gave His life for us. So the first thing this prayer does is it makes us aware that our surroundings, that Satan, and that our own sin are seeking to draw us away from the surpassing joy and beauty of Jesus Christ. Second thing this prayer does is it makes us ask for help. It's not complicated. In fact, I felt somewhat embarrassed as I was working on this message. I just thought, you know, this is really simple, Lord. Like, how am I even going to fill up 45 minutes? And I just felt the Lord say, are you doing it? Okay, I can fill up 45 minutes. All right. I'll find a way. Ask for help. All of these requests cut at the heart of our self-sufficiency. That's why we don't pray. It's because we think we can handle life on our own. And the reason we think we can handle life on our own is because if we handle it on our own, we'll get the credit. Temptation is subtle. It's powerful. It's sudden. And it's pervasive. We see an example of how temptation works. Few nights before Jesus died, the night before Jesus died, He is saying to His disciples in the garden, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. Within a few hours, Peter had denied Jesus three times. Why do you think Jesus told them to watch and pray that they enter not into temptation? Because He knew temptation was coming. Why do you think Jesus tells us to ask that we not enter into temptation? Because He knows temptation is coming. In preparation for this message, I went back and reread John Owen's On Temptation. It's part of his Collected Works, Volume 6. I'd recommend it to anyone who wants to do some serious work in the study of your heart. It's old language. It was written in the 1600s, I think. But He is a surgeon of the soul. And this is one thing he says. The ways of our entering into temptation are so many, various, and imperceptible. The means of it, so efficacious and powerful. The entrances of it, so deceitful, subtle, insensible, and plausible. Means we can't even feel it, and they're believable. Our weakness, our unwatchfulness, so unspeakable that we cannot in the least keep or preserve ourselves from it. We fail both in wisdom and power for this work. Ooh, that's so true. So I better ask for help. I've realized there is, at any moment, I am either sinning or ready to be tempted by sin. Any moment, any day. It's true of all of us. We are either sinning, in the process of sinning, or ready to be tempted by sin. Asking God for help makes us aware that we're sinful, that we're weak, that we're deceived. It's implying a posture before God. Dependence on His strength. We aren't trying to prove that we can handle anything. No problem. We're asking our Father to keep us from some situations simply because we're not confident that our faith could triumph in those situations. This is the prayer of one who desires to live in dependence on God so that His kingdom may come, so that His will might be done, so that He might receive the glory. Now, dependence doesn't mean that we're passive. It's not like resting on something. We are resting on God, but it's active. Growth in godliness isn't accidental. We must actively pursue God's strength. That's why we pray. This has happened in my own life, and I've seen it happen in many others' lives, where we become familiar with our sin and we just talk about it a lot. Especially in a church like this, where we have been taught well on the doctrine of indwelling sin. Oh, I'm just so proud. Oh, man, I'm just proud. I just really have a problem with lust. It's anger. I'm just angry all the time. I'm just angry. Do we pray against those sins? This is, I believe, the outworking of Philippians 2, 12 and 13, where Paul says, "Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure." What is our part that we do in fear and trembling? We pray. We ask God. We're aware of the battle. We ask God for help. Third thing this prayer makes us aware of is that we can be assured of victory. We're continuing to see that prayer isn't some spiritual activity totally unrelated to our challenges and struggles. We're not seeking through this series simply to increase our prayer quota. Hey, everybody's praying more. Hey, did you pray? Yeah, did you pray? Yeah, hey, we're all praying. That's great. I prayed for an hour today. Really? Man, I'm only up to 50 minutes. I hope to get there. That's not what this is about. This is about our lives and how we live them. Praying like this is essential to us becoming more like Jesus. We are acknowledging here that God truly is sovereign over the forces of evil that are arrayed against us. He's also saying that his strength is sufficient in our weakness. And we look elsewhere to see that God has promised he will always answer this prayer. You may be familiar with this verse I'm about to read, but maybe the full force of it hasn't come through. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13 says this: "No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it." What a sweet promise. What a glorious promise for us in our fight against temptation, that we can be assured of God helping us. With this prayer and all that it implies, we are being armed against temptation of any sort that might come at us in any situation at any time. In fact, the act of praying is a means of grace in itself. And again, John Owen helps us. He says, "To pray that we enter not into temptation is a means to preserve us from it. Glorious things are by all men that know aught of these things spoken of this duty." What that means is a lot of people say, this is a really great idea. And yet the truth is, not one half of its excellency, power, and efficacy is known. And we don't want that to happen here. So we're going to spend some time looking at how we can apply this prayer in our lives. How do we pray this prayer effectively? First, learn what temptation looks like for you. Now, Josh made this point back in August, but I trust that not all of us remember exactly what he said. So we're going to do a little review. Become aware of your specific battle, because becoming aware is the first step towards overcoming temptation. Is there a time of day, is there a situation that you find yourself in often where you're tempted more often than others? In the morning, maybe at night, when you're alone, when you're with a certain group of people. Is there a place where you're prone to be tempted? In your bedroom, in your car, at work? The pastors take a retreat twice a year for 4 days to serve you more effectively, to draw close to God, to study his word, to plan how we are going to lead the church by God's grace. And it's an interesting thing. I serve with some of the most godly men I know. But it would be true for almost all of us that when we go on these retreats, there is an unusual temptation to impress. And when you're on a team that feels a great freedom in helping each other grow in humility through the gift of mocking, you really feel it. You really start thinking things like, or praying prayers like, God, don't let me say anything stupid. Or, Lord, let me make the comment that just brings everything together. Where all the other pastors just kind of go, wow. Now, none of us would express these things going into it. But sometime within the last year and a half, we started praying before the retreat, as we always do. But we spent time praying specifically against this sin. And the fruit was evident. Because not only were we helped against it, but we were made more aware of that temptation and more aware of how we could counteract it. Maybe there are certain relationships that tempt you. Your roommates, your parents, your children, your friends, other students. Maybe it's a season of life that you're going through where you're experiencing unusual temptation. Temptation does not always come with the same degree of intensity all the time. You may be in a season of want where you just feel very needy. Pray against complaining. You may be in a time of spiritual neglect. Maybe you're a mom with young kids. You just feel like your quiet time has just gone out the window. Pray against temptation. To put off praying. To not snatch times to get into God's Word. Maybe you're in a time of material prosperity. And there are probably few tests that are more subtle than this. Pray that you not fall into the deceit of riches. Primarily, I think we need to pray about our disposition, the things that we just are naturally prone to be tempted in. Maybe it's anger. Maybe we just see ourselves as an angry person. We need to be aware of that. And we want to pray not only against anger, but the roots beneath it. Maybe it's sloth. Sloth is laziness related to procrastination, tardiness, loving just to sleep all the time. Do we just accept that and say, well, that's just the way I am? God just made me a very sleepy person. My wife and I have talked about this. It's true. I mean, some people need less sleep than others. But if our love for sleep is causing us to break commitments and not spend time with God, we need to pray against it. We need to ask God's help. Maybe it's fear or anxiety. You know, we've experienced things like the sniper attacks, 9/11, just different, or it may be very personal. It may be just you fear for your children, their safety, their health. Your child starts coughing, or maybe you start coughing. Let's open this up. And the first thought is, oh, I wonder if I have bronchitis or cancer. What do we do with those thoughts? Do we just let them run their course and talk to people, start going on the internet, checking out, oh, maybe I have this? Do we pray against fear? Do we ask God to help us against our anxiety? How about our lust? We can pray in the morning, Lord, I'm going to see immodestly dressed women today. I need your help. Lord, I will be confronted by the world who doesn't care about the modesty that you desire, holiness, purity that you desire. I need your help. Maybe it's envy, just throwing out things that might apply to us, things that we might struggle with. Am I always comparing myself to people? At work, at home, at school. And I always say, why did they get honored and I didn't? Why did they get that? Do my thoughts always run there? Pray against it. Most of all, and I think this applies to all of us, we just need to pray against pride. All sin is rooted in pride. Our belief that we should be God, that God's not doing a good job as God, so we'll be God. We want His glory, we want His credit, we want His fame. A number of years ago, my first entry is, God, let me thank you for evidences of grace, especially the gospel. I want to start, before I pray anything, I want to thank you for all that you're doing, especially the fact that you have made me your son. My second prayer is this, make me humble. I've been praying that for years. Make me humble, make me passionate for you. You know, at times that can feel like, okay, item number two, make me humble, make me passionate for you. Make me humble. You know, when I see how proud I am, I think, God, are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? But you know what I've seen over the years? God is helping me. God is helping me. So we want to be aware of our specific temptations. Second thing we want to apply this way, we want to apply this is we want to ask God for specific help. Specific help. These are some of the things we can ask God for as we ask Him to lead us not into temptation and deliver us from evil. Lord, make me aware of my need. Make me aware of my tendency to ignore sin. Make me aware of my tendency to think that I can do this on my own. We can ask God for insight. God, give me insight to see the roots of my sin more clearly. God, why am I so quick to say yes to everything, or no to everything? Why am I so susceptible in a situation to lust? What's going on there? God, help me see. We can ask Him to make us alert. God, make me spot the first sign of turning from You. Whether it be a thought, a word, a desire, an emotional response. We can ask for strength. That's what we're doing. We're asking for strength. God, I can't fight temptation on my own. I need the power of Your Spirit. And something that I found particularly helpful is to ask God to help us to hate temptation. There is no sin that is not preceded by temptation. And we don't hate the fruit if we don't hate the root. Many times I have hated sin but loved the temptation. I'm just going on the internet alone at night by myself just to check email. That's all I'm doing. Just checking email. Some of us who struggle with anger but love the feeling of being in control and having everything go just the way we want it to. We love the temptation, but hate the sin. As a student, you may hate the thought of rebelling against your temptation and rebelling against your parents and deceiving them, but you love listening to music that extols those qualities. If we're going to hate the sin, we have to hate the temptation. How we need the help of the Holy Spirit to do this. Third way we can apply this is to trust God to be faithful. We can be confident. We can be very confident that in our battle against these things, God is a shield in the midst of our battle. He's a strong tower that we can run to. He is our deliverer. He is an ocean of refuge, an ocean of deliverance in the desert of temptation. Temptation is no match for the gospel. And help may not always come exactly the way we want. But we can expect to be kept from entering into temptation and delivered from the evil one. We may get the idea of running from temptation. That may be how God answers the prayer. I'm going to run from this. We're thinking, oh God, I did not want that to be my life at all. No, the Lord's saying, no, I'm telling you now, run. Well, Lord, I didn't want it to come at all. Now I got to give in. No. He's speaking to you right then. That's the answer to the prayer. We might have the opportunity to fill our minds and hearts with compelling thoughts of God's mercy and goodness. We might have the thought, oh, maybe I should read God's word right now rather than just flipping through this magazine. God's helping us. May realize that getting with a certain person wouldn't be wise. God's helping us not enter into temptation. We may remember to pray in the middle of the day, which is when we can pray. Anytime, anywhere, we can pray against temptation. Because we are praying for what God has secured through the giving of His Son. We're not asking God to do something He doesn't want to do. God, lead us not into temptation. We know you want to do that, but we don't want to be tempted. No, God does not want us to enter into temptation. He does not want us to get into that ring. I have no temptation walking by a liquor store. I don't drink. I never have drank. I don't like alcohol. So that's no temptation for me. I want the whole world to be like that to me. I just don't have an interest in it. I found something better. The surpassing joy of knowing Jesus Christ, who has delivered me from the power of sin in my life. 1 Peter 2:24 says, He Himself bore our sins in His body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By His wounds you have been healed. Paul says again in 2 Corinthians 5:15, He died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for Him who for their sake died and was raised. Isn't it kind of the Savior to give us a command which is for our good and for our strength and for our drawing near to Him, to find a throne of grace where we can find mercy and grace to help us in our time of need? For it is His kingdom we want to come, not our own. It's His will we want done, not our own. It's His name we want to see praised, not our own. And for those reasons, we keep asking and we will keep asking God to keep us from entering into temptation and delivering us from the evil one, so that His name might be glorified in our lives. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Father, we thank You for this time that we have had to remember what You have said, what You have commanded, so graciously commanded us. Lord, there is always grace in Your commands. There's always a loving Father behind them saying, do this and you'll benefit. Do this and you'll see wonderful fruit in your life. God, help us to be aware of the battle. Help us to ask You for help. And plant in our hearts assurance that there is no temptation we face that You will not give us strength to resist or run from. For You are bringing through us Your kingdom for the glory of Your name. Keep us ever mindful of our natural state, but let us never forget our heavenly title or the grace that can deal with every sin. Amen.